We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is! The Alex Dono Show here on a Football Friday, my friends, on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Canes and Toledo tomorrow. Man, I miss Canes football. Dolphins-Jets on Sunday. Man, I hate the Jets, and I love the Dolphins. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Pound 560 on your cell phone, or you can always text us. I got the text machine open, up and running. Reach us there at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line, but please do not text and drive. Well, at least week three in the NFL. I know the NFL has been, you know, much maligned over the last couple of years. You know, there's no longer the same parity in the league that they used to have, which is true. A lot of these college football Saturdays have been more entertaining than NFL Sundays, which has been very true. But at least week three in the NFL with the ridiculously high-scoring Rams 49ers game last night is already off to a nice start. And I was just reading an interesting piece at thebiglead.com. You know, I'm not a huge gambling guy, but when I see something like this, it at least tells me that there could be some interesting games this weekend. This weekend, there are 10 NFL road favorites. 10 road favorites this weekend, which usually equates to chaos, fun games, interesting finishes, things you don't expect to see. I think we need more of that in the NFL, where the first 2 weeks were not very good. Maybe week three, there is hope for excellence. Right then, among the road favorites this weekend. Now, this one probably not going to be a great game, but the Browns are -1 at the Colts. The Steelers -7 at the Bears. Dolphins -6 at the Jets. So Dolphins are a big road favorite. More on that in a moment. Broncos -3 at the Bills, because, you know, the Bills are pretty crappy. Broncos are pretty good. Bucks -3 at the Vikings. Falcons -3 at the Lions. Chiefs -3 at the Chargers. And the Raiders -3 at the Redskins. And, okay, so the Dolphins are, according to oddsmakers, the second biggest betting favorite of the weekend, -6 at the Jets. I will admit I've heard from, I'll say, a handful of panicked Dolphin fans. I think that says a lot about Dolphin fans. Where, like, you anticipate at some point something is going to go wrong. Because if you've lived and died with this team for, you know, the better part of the last decade and a half, usually when you get a false sense of security, something does go wrong. I don't feel that way this year. I don't feel that way this year at all because I trust Adam Gase. I believe in Jay Cutler. I believe in Jay Ajayi, who we'll hear from in a moment. I don't think these are your father's Dolphins. I don't think these are the same Dolphins that from the Dave Wannstedt era through the Joe Philbin era, you could always count on them to let you down. I don't think these are the same Dolphins because they are better coached and they have a better culture than they've had for a long time, probably since the Shula era. I know it's early to proclaim that, but you see signs heading in that direction. And yeah, I've heard from a handful of panicked Dolphin fans this week. I think some of you like need to maybe take a deep breath, breathe into a paper bag, whatever you got to do. But saying, Dono, I don't feel good about this game. Right, because the Jets are due for a bounce back. All the rushing yards they gave up to Shady McCoy in week one, all the rushing yards they gave up to Marshawn Lynch in week two, they look like they're tanking. They lost by 25 points last week. The Dolphins have a history in slipping up in games against the Jets. I think this is a trap game. I've heard this a handful of times. Now, let me say this. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a blowout, because in these division rivalry games, it doesn't always work that way. It usually doesn't work that way in the NFL. Yeah, I think that the odds makers are probably pretty right on at -6 in favor of your Miami Dolphins. I think this is going to be maybe a touchdown margin of victory for the Fins, maybe 10 points at most. I think it's going to be a dogfight at times, but have a little faith that these are not your father's Dolphins. These are not the same Dolphins that let you down year after year after year. This is a Dolphins team that has won 10 out of the last 12 games that came down to 3 points. This is a team that has had a knack for closing out the close games, if you will. So I'm not panicked about that. And, you know, another thing I was on the radio earlier today, like somewhere in upstate New York in Albany. I think it's the Jets affiliate in Albany. They were asking me about this game and about the rivalry. Do fans still take this rivalry seriously? Of course. Dolphins, Jets, to the fans, in the eyes of the fans, the Jets are still the hated rival. I know that the New England Patriots have been the in vogue team. They have been the ones who have controlled the AFC East for so long, but you always have that extra amount of venom towards the New York Jets. That is your historical rival. That is the team where so many of their fans, so many of the stinking New Yorkers have come down here, the snowbirds that pollute our stadium when these teams play. And ironically enough, you get a lot of Jets fans at Hard Rock Stadium. You get a lot of Dolphin fans at MetLife Stadium. The MetLife takeover is going to happen this weekend in New York. But no, I think for the fans, the rivalry is as bitter as it has always been. I don't think it's quite the same for the players. Now, I will say this. I observed this today, being in the locker room, talking to the Cam Wakes and the Jay Ajayis today, talking to, you know, some of the Jermon Bushrods and the Laremy Tunsils and Dominican Sues earlier this week. I do think that these guys have a little bit of an extra chip on their shoulder for the divisional games, right? Those are the teams they see twice a year. Those are the teams that know each other best. And the more familiar you are with an opponent, the more of that trash talking that goes on, the chippier the games can get. I definitely think that if you compare an opponent like the Jets to an opponent like the Chargers, who they saw last week, or the Saints that they see next week, there is something extra that's sort of reserved for these divisional rivals. But I think the last time I can remember covering the Dolphins, covering the team in the locker room, the last time I remember a Dolphin player truly despising the Jets, like really having that heated rivalry with these guys, the last guy I can remember to really have that extra hatred towards the Jets was Jason Taylor. It's not really been the same since JT. And I know, ironically enough, Jason Taylor did play a season for the Jets, you know, before he came back to Miami for his retirement year. But Jason Taylor, that was the guy that despised the Jets. He would get into it with Jets fans, would argue with people, even on the radio, on the Joe Rose show. They'd bring on Jets fans and JT would argue with them. I think that was the last time I remember a Dolphin player really sort of reserving that extra venom for the Jets. For most of these guys, it's been business as usual. It's another game, it's another opponent, but it is a divisional opponent. And the divisional opponents, I think, you have that extra familiarity with, and it does create a little bit of an extra chip on the shoulder. But here's some audio from Jay Ajayi today, you know, coming off that 122-yard performance against the Chargers last week. But more importantly, the workload was crazy. 28 carries for Ajayi, who only sat out 3 of the Dolphins' offensive snaps last week. I doubt he's going to have a workload like that again anytime soon. You know, I asked Ajayi how his body was feeling, and he said it's feeling good, but they're going to have a plan this week. I think he was implying that you're going to see a few more snaps being taken by Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake. But here is Jay Ajayi today on the rivalry with the New York Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this game, every one of our divisional games, I think we kind of have, you know, a little bit of a rivalry with each one, like where all of those games are like intense and we don't really like, you know, any of those guys. And so I think that whenever we play the Jets, it's always been kind of intense out there. They always like to talk smack. That's just what it's been with my experiences playing against them. And, you know, it's been fun, going against those guys, and I think it'll be nice to go up there in New York and get one.
Talking a little smack, I like to hear that. And you know, Ajayi, the second game the Dolphins played against the Jets last year, they swept the Jets last year, and they did win that second game. It was December 17th. The Dolphins did win that game handily, 34 to 13, but the rushing yards were harder to come by. So this was last year. This year, they have stunk it up against the run so far. Last year, that was one of the more stout run defenses that Jay faced. In the second matchup, he was held to 51 yards on 19 carries, had a much tougher time to the offensive line really establishing things. Of course, there was no Mike Pouncey in that second matchup with the Jets, but it is a defensive front that he remembers well from a year ago. But here is Ajayi. I talked a little bit about the workload last week. Here he is opining on, you know, playing all but three snaps against the Chargers last week.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the play count and everything. It was like, well, I was almost out there like all of the plays, and I felt good. You know, felt good to be out there in all the plays and be dependable and be counted upon, and that's just how the game plan went. Against the Chargers, and you know, we'll see how it goes this week.
I remember 28 carries he had a week ago. Here's Jay on how many carries he likes to get per game.
Yeah, I mean, I think anywhere from that 20 to 25 range is, you know, good carries for a running back in the game. You know, however the game goes, you know, game flow, all of that stuff can affect how many carries you get. So it's all about, you know, just taking what you get with the opportunities that you get. And that's always my mentality is, you know, how many times we run the ball, how many times Coach Case calls my number, whether it's running the ball, catching it. Just take advantage of every opportunity and, you know, with every touch, just make it count and try and put points on the board.
Yeah, 20 to 25 carries, that might be nice after 28 carries last week, and he missed a couple of days of practice this week. I mean, that's another thing, though. I've had a couple of people asking me about the Dolphins injury report. Who should we panic about? So Jay Ajayi is on the injury report. He's questionable, officially questionable with a knee. Jarvis Landry, questionable with a knee as well. Ray Mauluga out with the hamstring. He's still got to drop some weight as well. Devontae Parker, questionable with a hamstring. Doubtful with an ankle is Jordan Phillips. I do not expect him to play this week. He's been in a walking boot most of the week. Mike Pouncey, he did practice in full today with that hip. He's going to play this week as well. And so is running back Damian Williams, who's questionable with the rib. So people are saying, oh, there's so many people on that injury report. Who should I worry about? Only Jordan Phillips. I mean, obviously, Ray Mauluga not going to play, not that you expected him to, but the only guy to worry about on there is Jordan Phillips, because what the Dolphins are having to do is, this is where you see the effect of Hurricane Irma and the rescheduling, right? If you're wondering, is this affecting the Dolphins already, the 16 consecutive weeks not having the bye week? It's affecting the way that they plan, right? And knowing that you're not going to have that bye week, Adam Gase is being a lot more proactive in giving guys rest days or active rest days during the week. He's done it with Ajayi, who did admit today that there's not really anything particularly wrong with his knee, but he's had rest days this week. Mike Pouncey getting rest days, Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, the same thing, that these guys who play hard and play as many snaps as Ajayi did last week, as Pouncey did last week, they're going to get maintained in some of these weeks. And so Ajayi's body was sore after the 28 carries he had a week ago. Here's Ajayi talking about the chemistry that he's built with his offensive line.
From the start of that game, they were pushing guys off the ball. And it was really exciting for me just because of, you know, we've been trying to see what's going to happen with our O-line and who's going to be those five. And just to be able to start our year off with the 100-yard rushing game and then realizing that, you know, that San Diego Chargers team hadn't given up 100-yard rushing for like 17 weeks. And I think that was definitely gratifying for us to know that we started our season on the right foot. You know, with physical mentality, running the ball, goal of victory, and just kind of setting that tone for the season.
And here's the last thing from Ajayi. He discusses the Jets' defense, and of course, everybody you ask about this will try and be as complimentary as possible, but here's Ajayi on the Jets' D.
This is kind of the same guys. There's a little bit of some new faces out there, so, you know, they're a little bit young, but, you know, still some of those same guys up there on the front. They got my boy Leo, big 92. He's going to always make it tough inside, and they've got some other great players on there. So it's going to be, you know, a fun one for us on Sunday.
And I'm glad that the chronic listeners to the show, they remember what we talk about every time we have Jay Ajayi audio. Does he sound more or less British? Honestly, I think that Jay, in those sound bites, I think he sounds more British than he did a few weeks ago. Here's my theory on that. He's already gearing up for London. The Dolphins are a week and a half away from playing a regular season game in London. I think it's very important for him to be the conquering hero who returns home to do that victory lap for the fans there at Wembley Stadium. There are times when you hear Jay Ajayi talk and it sounds like he's losing the accent. I think the accent is coming back. I think Jay Ajayi has probably been watching like BBC America. He's watching reruns of like Doctor Who and Orphan Black. He's trying to reestablish the accent. I think that was a good observation by the texter there. He wonders, did Jay Ajayi get more British? I think the answer to that is yes. Omar Kelly's going to be in London in a couple of weeks for the Dolphins game. We'll catch up with Omar in New York when we come back. But man, I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. I mean, hello, for any road game, you're looking for a place to watch it. Oh, they have all the pro football, all the college football this weekend with the TVs covering every wall. So many great sporting events to watch this weekend. I recommend the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. They have the flat screen, high def TVs covering every wall. The drink specials are great. They have the spirit master at the Quarterdeck designing these amazing craft cocktails. They've got 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day at the Quarterdeck. The 2-for-1 happy hour never ends at the Quarterdeck restaurants. The food is delicious. The seafood is amazing. The sushi is world class. I love the sushi at the Quarterdeck. I love the oysters and Maine lobster. The fresh mahi is excellent. The buffalo shrimp is really good. But if you're not a seafood fan, there's plenty to offer from the chicken wings. Breaded, unbreaded, spicy, mild, barbecue. There's so many great ways to enjoy the wings at the Quarterdeck. Build your own burger with tons of fresh toppings. I love the chicken ciabatta sandwich with a fresh piece of mozzarella cheese, tater tots on the side. It's so good. The baby back ribs are tender. The meat falls right off the bone of those baby back ribs. But whatever you do, make sure you save room for dessert. The key lime cheesecake at the Quarterdeck, it's delicious. It is the perfect way to finish every meal. The chocolate cake is also really good. And the piece of chocolate cake is huge. I can barely finish it, is how big that is. And I love my desserts. You want to find your location by visiting quarterdeckrestaurants.com, because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Alex Dono Show on South Florida's official football station. Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Let's pull the two-seat out, baby.
It is a Dolphins Friday, and it's what this is the first true Football Friday we've had in South Florida this season. The first Friday where we have a weekend with both Canes and Dolphins this week, so I'm pumped for that. We go out now to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. We talk with Omar Kelly. Talk some Dolphins with Omar from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and it's brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Omar Kelly with us now. Omar, how you enjoying the Big Apple so far? Where does New York rank in the cities the Dolphins visit year after year?
Number one.
Nice.
I think it's you know, I'm a Miami guy, so Miami's the number one city in America for me. I'm a little biased, of course. We've got the beautiful women. We've got the beautiful weather. We got the beautiful women. But New York is right there, number two. And I can make this comparison because I just came from L.A., which would be a contender as well. Hmm. I enjoy New York. I just wouldn't live here, but I definitely always enjoy it. I went to the Statue of Liberty for the first time today.
Oh, good for you. You know, it's funny. I haven't been to the Statue of Liberty, I think, it's since I was like 2 years old was the light. I've been to New York a few times, not that many times, but a few times since. But I've not visited the statue since I was two. Was it all you hoped it would be?
It's nice to look at. You can sit there and ask yourself exactly how did they get it here. But, you know, I've been here 15 times. That was the first time I've done it because my son is here with me. And, you know, you're just trying to do touristy stuff. And he's not interested in going to, you know, museums and stuff like that. So we did it and we enjoyed ourselves.
Nice. I'm glad you can enjoy that with your son. And last thing here on cities before we talk some football. I heard you mention earlier that you're not a London fan. Like, what do you have against London?
I don't think the weather's okay. I don't think the food is very good. And I'm really a food guy. If you know, maybe I need some recommendations. I say again, if anybody knows some good restaurants,
I think you got to go to foreign restaurants. You got to go to like Indian food. I think is what they do the best there.
But I don't like Indian food. I've realized don't eat UK food. That's just disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't like Indian food. What I did realize is there's a Chinatown. There's Argentinian places, and I love Argentinian food. And then there's Chinatown in London. And I go to Chinatown in every city that I'm going tomorrow. I love Chinatown.
Omar Kelly with us. He covers the Miami Dolphins, of course, for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. So, you know, Omar, I've heard a lot of Dolphin fans, and I don't really agree with this, but I've heard some Dolphin fans like joke or say, "Oh, well, I'm glad Jordan Phillips probably won't play this weekend because he sucks anyway." But I mean, depth, Omar, depth. How will the Dolphins be affected by Jordan Phillips not going this week?
You should just take any kind of legitimate credibility card that person has that says, "Oh, Jordan Phillips sucks anyway." Yeah. You just become very just incredible in terms of your football opinion. And I get it. Fans, you know, I always joke about this all the time. There's got to be one fan that is going to be the punching bag of the Dolphin fan. At one point, it was Channing Crowder in his career. You know, last year, who was it? Last year, it was Dallas Thomas before he got waived.
Yeah, or even Mario Williams last year as well.
Mario Williams. This year, it's going to be Byron Maxwell and Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips isn't an NFL starter, but you know what he's good for? He's good for at least 20 snaps. And if you can keep Ndamukong Suh fresh and not have to play Davin Godchild for 40 snaps, you're better off as an organization. And maybe that's the reason why you limited a team like the Chargers to 44 rushing yards. So, three starting defensive tackles or three rotational defensive tackles are better than two. Just simple math.
I'm curious to hear your opinions on the pass defense from last week, Omar, because the rush defense was very stout. Pass defense struggled, but Phillip Rivers will do that for a lot of teams. So how much do you read into it?
I read into it from this standpoint. They blitzed a lot. They weren't effective on the blitz. They weren't getting home, getting pressure on Phillip Rivers. He wasn't holding the ball long. But then again, the cornerbacks didn't give them tight coverage. So, you know, he wasn't forced to hold a ball. So, everything works together in unison, just like the offense. And, you know, for me, I'm not going to sit here. I was critical during the game, watching the game, even after the game. When I thoroughly reviewed the film, I'm like, well, they really didn't get that much of an opportunity to get to Phillip Rivers. And he gets rid of the ball quick. He's got a quick trigger. So I can't sit here and say, oh, man, they suck as pass rushers, because that's not the case. We know that's not the case. They just didn't hit home. And it hurts when you don't have Lawrence Timmons, who is your best blitzing linebacker, and a lot of the packages were designed around him blitzing or hitting gaps. And you don't have that, and you got to compensate. So let's not sit here and say that Matt Burke was working with a full deck. He had probably about 20 cards out of his deck taken out just because of Lawrence Timmons' absence. So I'm going to be patient and wait to see what they can do against the Jets, because there should be no excuse why you can't get to Josh McCown.
Now, in today, Adam Gase seemed to hint that we probably won't see Stephon Anthony this weekend, the new linebacker, so it might be another week before fans see him make his Dolphins debut. But I'm curious if you've had a chance to study him a little bit and what he might bring to the table this year.
You know, I've actually studied him going into the draft process. He was on my do not touch list of linebackers that I don't like. So, you know, and then when the New Orleans Saints took him in the first round, I immediately was like, oh, this is going to be a huge mistake.
Wow.
Then when I saw his tackle totals, I was like, okay, maybe he's better than I thought. Instincts are just not there. They're Philip Wheeler-esque slow.
Oof.
And now you can put him in a limited role as your Sam linebacker, give him very specific assignments, very specific keys, and hope to see that 4.52 speed and L drill, you know, the best L drill of everybody in that combine. And, you know, he's athletic enough, he's big enough, he can possibly give you that kind of impact play. But for me to sit here and tell you that, oh, he's going to be starting next, he's going to unseat Mike Hole, that ain't happening.
Omar, do you think we see Lawrence Timmons actually suit up and play for the Dolphins this year?
I do. Maybe I'm naive, but I look at it from this standpoint. I've covered the Dolphins for 11 years now. This is my 11th season. I've been in some. I've seen players turn on players. And this wasn't a situation where you saw players turn on players. I've seen coaches be bitter, and while Adam Gase was angry, he wasn't bitter. So I have to think that Lawrence Timmons will eventually be back once he's done or finished or has addressed whatever he's got going on in his life. And really, truthfully speaking, my prayers go out to him. I hope that most Dolphins fans aren't angry or disappointed. You could be disappointed. Go ahead, because he should have told the team he couldn't practice or couldn't play. But none of us know what's going on in this man's life. This man could have just found out he got a terminal illness.
Wow.
And and I'm not saying that's the case, or
right.
He could have just found out that his kid has a terminal illness. And we're all sitting here, how dare Lawrence Timmons, you know, let his team down? Some things in life are far more important than our jobs or football or not letting down your teammates. Your number one team is your family. And my hope is this is just, you know, the guy's track record says that it's not something that he just decided, woke up one morning and just decided he didn't want to play football anymore. You know, this is hopefully something that's life or death or state of mind,
yeah,
or personal peace or child safety or mothers on deathbed, you know. And if that's the case, my prayers go out to him.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is with us here on WQAM. Omar, the Jets look really, really bad, but you know, I have learned over the years in the NFL not to take any road game for granted, not to take any divisional game for granted. So how do you, in the study you've done during the week, how do you expect this game to play out? What weaknesses can the Dolphins exploit?
The Dolphins can exploit any weakness that they would like of the New York Jets. This is probably, if I had to put a team of the equivalent on it, talent-wise, this is probably the Indianapolis Colts of that 2007 season, where they had produced, you know, one win, or did they go winless? No, the Lions went winless. This is historically bad. They have probably about 30 players that belong on a 53-man roster, and you know, I wrote a column that's going to run in tomorrow's Sun Sentinel, and it, you know, it really hurts my heart to see what's happened to Todd Bowles, because, you know, you work that hard, you work 30 years in the league as a player and a coach to put yourself in a position to be successful as a head coach. You have a 10-6 record one season. The next season, injuries completely decimate your team. Players eventually quit on the season, and that's important that you purge your roster after players quit on the team. However, to not even give him any kind of talent to work with this season, to trade away or release or, you know, hell, just throw away draft picks by drafting two safeties and cutting and trading the two starters that you had. You know, you want to add talent. And I get it. If you sit there and you say, oh, this talent isn't going to go anywhere, we're not going to be a seven, you know, why should we be a 6 or 7 win team? You should be a 6 or 7 win team because you want to give Todd Bowles a chance to be successful at what he signed up to do, which is coach the team. Right now you're sitting there talking about, oh, growth and progress is the measuring stick, not win. That's tank territory.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Todd Bowles. I know him personally, and it hurts my heart. I know he's not complaining because he's going to be cashing a check next year no matter what, but it hurts my heart to see somebody who worked that hard to put themselves in that position and take this job expecting you to be loyal to them and put them in position to be successful, and there you are sabotaging it.
Very well said. And you're right, because I do have sympathy for Bowles. I know he's a good guy, did a nice job for the 3 or 4 weeks he was the interim head coach down here. I guess that was at the end of the Sperano tenure, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, he's been dealt a bad deck here. So you can imagine that really Woody Johnson is our Jets ownership is tanking here. And I would imagine that
He's left the franchise.
That's right. Yeah, it's
the
ambassador
to the UK.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say it's the kid, right? It's the son.
Yeah, I think it's his brother. I can't remember his name. I wrote him in the column today, but yeah, he spoke out this week and basically was like, "Oh, we're not measuring the season by wins. We're measuring the season by progress, growth, how much fight and spunk that they have." That means they're just going to expect the team to self-destruct in the fourth quarter so that they can go draft a quarterback. Early.
Right. And the crappy part of that is with them tanking, I would imagine when they start the rebuild, Todd Bowles is probably not going to get a chance to be a part of that.
But you know what? He might be able to finish that season and might be able to coach a rookie quarterback, but where is his career going to go from that point?
Yeah.
It'll take him another decade to work his way back up to becoming a head coach,
if that. Rough. Last thing, Omar, I know you're not a big fan of cheese, but do you like New York pizza?
Oh, I love New York pizza. It's one of my favorites. I'm sitting there having debates with my son because he hates New York pizza. And I'm like, man, this is – and it's true. And
Hold on. Your son hates New York pizza? Yeah. Where's this parenting, Omar? Terrible, terrible job by you.
I've tried to expose him to some of the greatest New York pizza that Miami has to offer. Hopefully we'll have some good New York pizza here, and it'll change his opinion on it. But I love New York pizza. I hate Chicago pizza. I love New York pizza.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Chicago pizza fan. Omar, I appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy the game this Sunday.
Man.
It is.
Who likes that crap?
Well, I know you hate cheese, but it does. It turns my stomach into knots, so I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
You want to follow this man on Twitter, at Omar Kelly. Check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, Omar. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Donna.
Good stuff there from Omar. His kid doesn't like New York pizza. It's very surprising. Oh, man. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour when we come back. People want to talk Dolphins, Jets. We even have a hardcore Jet fan on hold, polluting our airwaves. The Alex Donner Show continues here on WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Live, offer ends 10/2/17.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader. 25 years and counting.
Miami Sports Radio.
Thanks again to Omar Kelly for joining us in the last segment. If you missed it, you can check it out later tonight at WQAM.com. 7:25, we'll talk some Hurricanes football with Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post. He's going to join us in the 7 p.m. hour. Received a text from the FIU troll who just despises the University of Miami. That he is an outlier because most, agree or disagree, most FIU football fans are also Miami fans. Miami football fans. That is true, correct?
1,000%.
Except the FIU troll, this one guy, he loves FIU football, despises the Hurricanes. But he texts to us, don't take Toledo lightly. FIU beat them. Can you? And to which, like, I responded sincerely, if you've listened to me all week, and if you listen for the next 3 hours tonight, you will not hear me disrespect Toledo or take Toledo lightly. Of course, I think Miami wins the game. They're a 13.5-point favorite for a reason. I think they cover that spread. But Toledo is not a team to overlook because they have a prolific offense, specifically their quarterback, who is an NFL-caliber quarterback. He will be in the National Football League. Logan Woodside, he is very, very good, very strong arm, very good decision-making. Threw for 458 yards last week as Toledo put up 54 points on Tulsa. Now, Tulsa is not Miami. Toledo has not faced a defense like Miami, a pass rush like Miami. And I know that if you were hoping 3 weeks ago to see the Hurricanes sack Bethune-Cookman 15 times and have 20 tackles for a loss, they fell way short of that. Just one sack in the game, 7 TFLs. Defense looked a little bit lackadaisical in that game. But I also thought that the defensive play calling by Manny Diaz in the Bethune-Cookman game was extremely buttoned up. I don't think he let the guys loose because he didn't want to put anything on film against Bethune-Cookman. I think they're going to be more aggressive this week. But you will not hear me take Toledo lightly. He also texted, Toledo's radio guy talked some smack on 560 yesterday. He's got the Rockets winning by 3. I hope he's right. Yeah, that was Bruce Gradkowski, who was with HCK yesterday. I'm actually going to have him on during the pregame show tomorrow because he is the Toledo Rockets radio analyst and a former Toledo and NFL quarterback. But no, he wasn't talking smack. I thought that Gradkowski was extremely respectful and complimentary of Miami football, but he picked Toledo to win because do you expect Toledo's radio guy and alumnus not to pick them? So aside from that, he was very respectful. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Gus in Key Largo. What's up, Gus? And first and foremost, Gus, I hope that you and yours are fine after Irma. I know that the Keys got hit harder than we did.
Yes, I am. I never lost power.
Good for you.
And didn't have any water surge. Now I say squish the fish. I don't like the Miami Dolphins. Oh. I've disliked them ever since that alleged perfect season.
Hold on. What do you mean alleged? What do you mean alleged perfect season? They won all their games. What was alleged about that?
Beat them October 22nd, 1972.
I don't remember that.
Well, I do. Buffalo beat them. Hello?
History says, I'm here. Are you going to talk some more nonsense, Gus?
Fan. I'm not a Jet fan, but I'm a Miami disliker. Anybody that plays Miami, I root for them.
Wow.
I like to see Miami have 1-15 season.
Jeez. Why not 0-6? Oh, because they've already won one game. Oh, I got you.
Next year, have an 0-16, and the year after that, an 0-16.
Jeez.
Miami, I hope they lose every game they play this season and then the next season.
So you're telling me you're not an Adam Gase fan. Is that correct?
No.
You're telling me you're not a Jay Cutler fan. Is that also correct?
Right.
So are you a fan of any team? You say you're a Miami hater. Do you just literally root for everybody the Dolphins face, or do you have a team of your own? Because I feel like you're a Jets fan in disguise.
No. But, it's you say about the disparity between the Jets and the Dolphins at Joe Robbie or at the Orange Bowl. I've sat there, and the Miami fans are every bit as belligerent as the Dolphins fan, or as the Jet fans.
Oh, Gus is getting booed. Gus, I appreciate the time, my
friend.
Well,
yeah, I appreciate you taking my call and let me rant. But I'd love to see the Jets beat the Miami Dolphins fly back from New York City, 1-1.
Wow. What a bitter, bitter individual. Do you hear that smack he's talking? Gus. I wish he had lost power. Gus. Robert, you're on WQAM. What's up, Robert?
How you doing, Alex? I consider you my neighbor. We just got power down here in Richmond Heights. When I hear you talk about the area you live in, down about Metro, my son played in the league with the Colts, Steve Grant, okay? In the 80s. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So what I'm talking about, because I hear you talk about the Metro Zoo and the area you live in. Okay. So that's why I consider you like my neighbor, you know?
Okay.
And,
I like it.
Yeah. And if you ever go up 152nd and you see a guy, a black guy, about 6'4", thin guy, bald-headed, that's James Horner, and he would wear a kickboxing stamp.
Oh, sweet. I'll make sure not to pick a fight with him.
Yeah. What I'm calling you about is Timmons. I agree.
Oh, hold on. Wait. Say the name again, because I think I know that man.
James Warren. He's a
He's a referee. I know James. I didn't know he lived by me.
Yeah. See, let me tell you something, though. Back in the day, I worked at the Hollywood Sportatorium.
Wow.
And I know you're a big wrestling fan. See, I went to Fayetteville State, and I went my first year of college ball. I played behind the Junkyard Dog. Okay. So at the Hollywood Sportatorium, I used to walk the wrestlers down to the ring.
Nice.
So I seen all the old wrestlers, Greg Malenko, Dusty Rhodes, Ivan Koloff, and all those guys. Okay? So back to James, Tony Palmo was won the Tough Man competition out there, and he turned to be world kickboxing champion the former year. James won it, the Tough Man competition, and he became a world kickboxing champion, and he kickboxed on ESPN against Roundtree.
Nice.
Okay. Yes, and I know James personally. He's a referee, and his wife a referee. Okay. So he lives right off 112th there and 152nd.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know, you know, those guys personally and stuff, you know. So what I'm saying about Timmons, I agree with Stormcat, because I spoke on Tuesday on the Big O Show about the same thing. See, we as some men as can't take rejection, okay? And no telling what he was going to do. See, when you got girls involved, you become daddy's little girl. When it's boys involved, they're mama's boys, okay?
I'm a mama's boy.
Right. So I'm the same way, too. See, but, you know, those girls, they kind of take to the daddy more than anybody else. So, you know, telling what she was telling the daughter and putting it in her head so it goes back. See, and like I said, you know, telling what he was going to do, and some guys can't handle rejection.
Yeah, and I understand it. Let me let you run because we're up against the top of the hour here. But listen, still, nobody knows. Like, I know that like Stormcat called me last night. I love Stormcat, but he had this like whole scenario in his head about what might have happened between Lawrence Timmons and the mother of his child. But it's like all these scenarios, there's nothing grounded in fact because we have no idea what was going on. We have no idea if it was a personal issue with family, illness. We have no idea what it was. 7 o'clock hour coming up. We'll talk some Canes with Matt Porter at 7:25. We'll also have Clickbait coming up next hour. A very notable anniversary. It's a 10-year anniversary of one of the great sports rants of all time. The Alex Donner Show continues here on WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.